E-R in Luke. And if you have your Bibles and want to be there, we're beginning here in Luke 9. We're midway through. We're picking up in verse 10. But we've been on this start of discipleship. Such a loaded word. And we have started last week looking at it. We won't continue because really, honestly, as we've been through Luke, every week you could say is about discipleship. It's about what it means to live in Christ. But I don't know, just pastorally even. I remember it was many years ago now, someone came and they were leaving the church and they said, Dax, you just don't teach the whole counsel of God. That's like, oh, it's like, oh no, what am I missing? What's going on? And what they meant when they said that was you don't teach discipleship. Because what discipleship had meant to them, and in our culture, and even Christian culture especially, is that discipleship is kind of like leveling up. If you play video games, it's the practices you're going to do to increase and grow in Christ. And saying if you don't talk about the things that you need to do in order to do that, you're missing counsel. That's a big deal. Are we missing something? What's discipleship, really? And so just pastorally, from my heart in Bible study and from the Lord to say, hey, what I do is I proclaim, I'm a preacher. I want you to have the whole counsel of God. I want you to be so grounded. It's so amazing that we can have the scriptures. And we go through the Bible verse by verse, and we're going through Luke chapter by chapter. And so we saw kind of a Jesus and the disciples even last week looking, or 2 weeks ago now, as the storms came and the disciples are afraid. And Jesus, with a word, stops it. Supernatural. I have no idea how that works. I can't do that. Jesus, with the demon-possessed man, whose the demons were named Legion, and Jesus says, go. I don't even know what that looks like. The disciples watching the power of Jesus Christ. You know, he has power beyond what we can even understand or think. He raises the dead, we saw last week. And then his disciples, as he's saying, hey, this is what discipleship is. He sends his guys on a mission and he gives them this amazing power. Not as something they're going to have forever, but to check it out. And he said, this is the thing, though. It's not about your preparation. It's not about the stuff you bring. It's not about you at all. It's about me. Go, and when you come back, tell me stories. That's where we left off, you know. That was last week we ended there. On their return, the apostles told Jesus all they had done. And he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. This is discipleship. It's like, oh man, I want to know. I want to know the stories. We're not told any of them. I want to know what happened. We're not told. But it was for them. The experience of their life is Jesus at work in their life. This is such a key thing for you and me. Do you trust? This is what we grow in. Jesus has you. And he's using you all in ways that he wants to do. Because we're on the raft. And his current's taken us where he would like us to go. I fight that. I think, no. Jesus is over there in the corner and he's waiting for me to do the right things in order that he might use me. What? I want to say some words to that. I want you to see from our text today more about what discipleship becomes. Life on earth, more Jesus, less you. So let's continue to look. I mean, it's okay. First is a realization. And I say, what? What's the realization? Well, I'm going to ask you what you think their realization is as we look at our text this morning. It's focused on discipleship. And I say that because we're particularly, by the end of this chapter, you guys, we're going to get to the point where Jesus sets his face to Jerusalem, where he's going to go die. And it becomes much more about the cross and what Jesus is going to do, starting at the end of this chapter, verse 51. You can look it up. That's the key move. But here we, the last chapters, it's really about this thing called discipleship. Life with Jesus. And you're a disciple. I am too. Because I've received Christ. Okay, so let's look and say, hey, this is discipleship. So here we go. Starting verse 11. So the crowd learned what? Jesus had come back from the Gentile territory he was in. He crossed the lake again and went to Bethsaida. So the crowds learned it and they followed him. And he welcomed them, spoke to them of the kingdom of God, and cured those who had need of healing. So the focus is squarely on the disciples, though. Even though it looks like, oh, it's about the crowd, it's about Jesus. No, keep going. Look. Just amazing as the disciples are still there and they've talked about what they're doing and it's connected right again. And then the people start coming in. If I was a disciple, I'd be a little bit like, get away. I want my special Jesus. Jesus doesn't do that. Welcoming the Son of God. But that's not really the message. It's this. Now the day began to wear away. And the 12 came and said to him, send the crowd away to go to the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we're here in a desolate place. I've been to the place where they think that is, and yeah, there's not much around there. It says people are there, and the disciples are worried. It's getting late, and said, hey, you need to send the people away because they got to eat. Reasonable. There is a time to stop. They've been with Jesus all day, it sounds like. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. Oh. Okay, you guys, don't miss this. Don't go something like, well, I know the story of the feeding of the 5,000. That's what this is. We can just go on to the next part. No. Wait. Look at it again with me. Look at what's actually going on. Because here's Jesus. And what happens? The disciples come. It's not Jesus saying, oh, we got to go do something. The disciples come and said, send them away. And Jesus says, you feed them. And the emphasis, if you look at the actual Greek text, what Jesus says, he says, you guys do it. All of a sudden, I'm like, okay, I'm a disciple of Jesus. This is the context, right? He just sent them on this mission where he'd given them all this power to do all these things. Now he's like, okay, go do it. I mean, that's a big crowd. This is practical. There's a lot of people here. I mean, I initially, if you've never read this before, if you're not, you're familiar with this, there's a group of people gathered around Jesus. I think, what's a crowd? Well, maybe a couple hundred people. And it'd be hard to feed that many people, especially if you're not prepared. And here, then you get this. They said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. Unless we are to go and buy food for all these people. We don't have the food to do this. We don't have the supplies to do this. We don't have... Wait. They just got back from a training mission. What did they get to bring? Nothing. But now Jesus says, hey, give food. Well, I don't have food. I have nothing to give. Because there were 5,000 men. Some people take that to mean there are 5,000 men and there's additional thousands of women and children. But it just take the 5,000. Think about for a minute what Jesus said to do and what it would take to do that. I mean, I don't even like buffet lines where there's 20 people in line. 5,000 people. And it's, you know, it's time for dinner. Okay, feed them. There's no food. You give them something to eat. What is impossible task? This is harder than healing someone in the sense of practical things that we think about. If I'm going to actually provide for someone, I'm going to say, well, I got to take my stuff. I got to give it to them. This is what it is. Versus declaring to them they're healed and God does something miraculous. I'm not thinking like that. I mean, maybe they probably should have said, turn to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, we can't. But that's kind of what they're doing. Here's what we got, Jesus. In another account of this, right, in Matthew's account, there's a kid who had that they used their stuff. But this is saying, well, that's not the focus here. The focus is on the disciples. This is discipleship. We don't have the money. Do you have the money? So I really want you to see something. I don't know if you've thought about it this way. Jesus said, you feed them, emphatically, and they're like, we can't. What are you talking about, Jesus? And then he has them feed them. I don't think you should miss that. right? Because he said to his disciples there, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. Well, okay, so that'd be 100 groups of 50. So I take our little group, we'd have maybe three groups of 50. And so we need another 97 groups, and then we'll have the size of the people he's talking about. It's vast. They're spread out on a big, huge place, right? That's a lot of people. Who's having them sit down? Not Jesus. Jesus told the disciples, and the disciples went and had them sit down. So the disciples are tasked with going and doing the thing. Okay. And it says, and they did so, and they had them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them, and then he broke the loaves and he gave them to the crowd. No. He gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. This is discipleship training, isn't it? Jesus provides, Jesus blesses, Jesus breaks bread, and Jesus gives it to the disciples to distribute. Who gives the people the food? The disciples. What did Jesus say? You should give the people food. And what do they end up doing? Giving people food. It's food from Jesus. Jesus is the provider. The disciples are the distributors. They aren't doing the miracle. They're being used by Jesus for the miracle. Jesus fed the 5,000, we say. Oh, yes, he did. But we skip the middle. Jesus gave the disciples food to feed the 5,000. He directed, and what he directed, he provided. Right? Who is their source of blessing others? It wasn't the stuff in their pocket. It was Jesus. Who provides? Do they provide themselves? No, they can't. They can't. Only Jesus. And don't you think that's along with what we've seen over and over and over now in a variety of miracles where the disciples are watching? They're even scoffing at Jesus. She's sleeping? No. Jesus, come on. She's dead. Jesus does. Not us. That's the idea. And say, well, what we do? Yeah, we do. As Jesus works in us, absolutely. There's so many cool things Jesus Christ has done. I believe we could have in this room people get up and give a testimony about how Christ has used them or what's happened in their life or the things that have gone on for you that have been Christ in you, which is amazing. I love testimonies. They are never about, and I grew strong so that I could give back to Jesus what he had given to me. That's not this. Nothing like that. Total trust in Christ, that's what's being taught. And there they are. It says they all ate and were satisfied. What was left over was picked up. 12 baskets of broken pieces. Okay, don't miss it. Don't you dare think this isn't about being a disciple. Why? Because there were 100 groups of 50 people. And there's 12 baskets left over. That would be what? Okay, help me with the math. 8.5 baskets per group? Or 8 point, I'm not doing the math right? Every 8.5 groups would have enough for one basket. That's really fun. Why is it 12, you guys? Well, what are the number of the disciples? 12! What's the idea? You guys had no food. You had nothing to give. You're right. You had no way to provide it. And yet I want you to do it. And so I gave you. And I didn't just give you. I gave you over abundantly. And there you are picking up the scraps. And each of you has a basket full of stuff. That's my Jesus. He has no lack. He's got the power. He's got the ability. He does what he wants. And this is not a call for you to go out and say, okay, in the power of Jesus, I'm going to go feed 5,000 people. Because Jesus didn't tell you to do it. But if he does what he says he's going to do. It's not about you. It's about him. This is discipleship. I trust that my Savior's using me. He will communicate clearly to me in his spirit He will empower what he wants me to do. It's not always going to be like this. You say, oh, this is an amazing miracle. Yeah, it's written down for us to understand. It is a training thing for us too, as we now get exposed to the Word of God and we receive this amazing truth that Jesus has all the power and he has compassion on us and he uses us. Just trust him. He's got you. Saying, but I'm on Facebook and all these other people are doing fantastic things and I'm doing nothing. Delete Facebook. You don't have to. I'm not saying that's a command of God. I'm saying that's a stumbling block for you, that you look to other people and see what other people are doing and think, oh, God's not using me, when you've got Jesus Christ. He's going to have you do exactly what he wants. And guess what? You'll do it. That's the trust, isn't it? Notice what I'm not talking about. Well, you know, he might use you if you do enough spiritual formation. What? Why is it about you? Why do we make everything about us? That's kind of the problem. So when I say there's a realization of inability. There's a realization of what I have in my pockets. I may have something. I may have more than two loaves and two fishes and five loaves. I may. But that's not the idea. The idea is Jesus Christ accomplishes what he wants. And I trust him. He's alive. He's our king. We sing songs to him. It's not an exercise. We don't come to church as an exercise in getting a little blip of information so I can go work and study on it and become better. That is not what we're doing here. We are worshiping our Savior because he's for us and he's alive. Isn't he? So there's this realization that discipleship entails, that Jesus Christ is trustworthy. He has us. He will accomplish what he wants with us. And none of us will not be used by Christ. Because of our faith? No, look at the disciples so scared on the boat. Because of our ability? No. Because of our Savior. More of him, less of us. That's this whole idea that we're walking through life with, that we start to depend on. And so there's that realization, right? But it's not just a realization. It's also an abandonment. An abandonment. And I say, whoa, wait a minute. Abandonment's kind of a tough word, Dax. I don't like that word. I haven't been abandoned. No, it's us abandoning something. We need to abandon something particular. Let's look. We're in discipleship still. In the text. This is the Bible for you. Now it happened that as Jesus was praying alone, the disciples were with him. And he asked them, who do the crowd say that I am? Okay, I love this. Because, isn't it true? Okay, here's Jesus. He's praying with the disciples. Except it doesn't say that, does it? Jesus is praying alone. And the disciples were with him. What are they doing? Well, they ought to be praying if they want to be used by God. Why do we go there? Our Savior is praying. He loved to pray. That's so fabulous. If you want to pray, pray. Pray morning, noon, and night. Pray always. Pray without ceasing. But the disciples weren't, and they are disciples. Jesus was praying. The goal of discipleship wasn't to get the disciples to pray more. Somehow we think, we make that link in our minds. I do. I go like, oh, you know, I had a pretty good day today. That's because I started my day with prayer. Not taking away even for a tiny bit that starting your day with prayer is fabulous. Boy, talk to God all the time. I pray. I hope you do. But that link is the problem, right? The link is my day went according to me. My day went according to me, how I did today. Well, I'm just doing discipleship. I want to throw something at you. Preferably a water balloon so you don't get hurt. That's not this, right? Jesus is praying. The disciples are there. They're not praying. And there they are. And Jesus asks them this question. And that's where Jesus wants to go. Stop. You guys, come pray with me. You're not learning. No. Instead, here's the learning. Who do the crowd say that I am? Okay. And so what happens? They answered and said, John the Baptist. Dude, that's a bummer. John the Baptist got his head cut off a while ago. Others say Elijah, and others that one of the prophets of old have risen. That's kind of, and I think you're supposed to see it. I mean, you can look back in the text and find this is echoes of who? Herod. Is this John the Baptist? Come back. Is this Elijah? So they're thinking like the world, like we all do. It's kind of reasonable. You could be like one of the old prophets that's proclaiming the law of God, and the law is the most beautiful doctrine of life, and there it is. Or maybe you're like John the Baptist, like preaching repentance and repentance of sin, and that's the main thing. It's telling people you have a great need. That's reasonable, but it's wrong. Right? Because then he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Amazing. And Peter answered, the Christ of God. Oh, man, I love Peter. Sometimes he gets it so right and it's fabulous. And you're like, yay, go Peter. And then he does something so dumb. And you're like, oh, no, Peter, come back. So I feel like he's like me. Sometimes I do rat some at you. Like, not. He connects with us. But here's Peter. And Peter says, the Christ of God, the Messiah. That means Jesus isn't primarily revealing the problem using the law. Jesus is primarily the cure. The Messiah, the Christ. And he's right. And Jesus strictly charged and commanded them to don't let anyone know, saying the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. This is the secret program, right? This is the program why Jesus isn't after popularity, because his task, his role is to take on the sin of the world, is to die for us and to rise from the dead. Oh, the gospel story right here. And there it is. And he's telling the disciples this incredible upside down stuff. You say, well, I just have always known this is the case. This is how I understand Jesus' story. He went to the cross. Yeah, but you got to realize it's upside down, right? He's not after worldly acclaim. What I'll call right-handed power, establishing strength. He's going to suffer and die. He's going to march in with soldiers and take over Israel and establish the law in Jerusalem. That's not the salvific program. Instead, he's showing this so different approach. The plan of the Messiah, accepting weakness and through weakness, winning. I love it. So that's great, Dex, but what does it mean for discipleship? Well, keep going. Because he says this. He said to all, these are all the disciples, right? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If you've never heard this verse, you probably haven't been around Christianity much. There it is, right? I desire to follow Jesus. I want to come after him. I believe he's the Messiah, don't you? So this is what it looks like. Self-denial and cross-lifting daily. By the way, those two are in a different tense than the rest. So it said, let him do this. It's a thing of do it, like you do it and you're done. But it says daily, and follow me becomes, that's the following. So you can take the verse two as sort of explaining what it means to follow. It actually just spent all this time saying it's all Jesus. And then you go right after this verse that's like the cornerstone of discipleship, self-denial, stop sinning, do better. And then we work on that. And as we work on that and we daily take up our cross of suffering and then we pull it after Jesus who's gone ahead of us and he's up there and I can get there with my cross because I'm going to follow Jesus. No wonder the person came to me and said, you're not giving the whole gospel. You're skipping verses like this. Really? Is that what you think this verse means? Because Shouldn't you take the context of what Jesus has been teaching his guys? Shouldn't you understand what's going on in the context and not just take a verse that cherry picks and then you can redefine what self-denial is? You can redefine what bearing your cross is? Jesus hasn't gone to the cross. What is he talking about? Well, it goes with the exercises Jesus has been training his guys in. It goes with what Jesus is going to do. He's going to do it all. He's going to suffer many things and be rejected and be killed and be rise on the third day. They're not signing up for a program of rulership and military might. It's true the disciples died, some in horrendous ways, because they really did reject the world. That's okay. But that's not a call. This isn't to prove your worth with a radical death. This is saying deny yourself. Deny yourself. Give up that you think you've got any ability to get anything done. He's just come off of it, hasn't he? He's just come off of, okay, there's 5,000 people. Go feed them. Well, maybe if I do a quick fundraising drive, and I work, and I work, and I work, and we'll start cooking right away, and we get people done, and we'll get them through, and it'll take a couple days, but everyone will have a meal. No, I'm going to feed them through you. Won't be your work. It's not you at all. It's not some sort of meritorious thing that you did for me to give me glory. I'm using you. That's self-denial, to embrace completely that your life needs redeeming on God's terms. Salvation doesn't come on your own terms, not on your own merits. Have you read Romans? This is what Jesus called self-denial, accepting that salvation is a gift that Jesus bestows on people who know that they can't have it themselves. It's such a problem. And I think this is why we're going to also pick up your cross daily, because I used to know that. I knew it when I started. I knew it when it was like, oh, my sin, I see it and I'm crushed. But then I started in the Christian life, and I've been a faithful Christian for 30 years, 40 years, long, long time. I've done a lot of stuff. Oh, fool that I am, that I would start thinking like that. I've prayed the prayers. I've read my Bible countless times. 100 times? Oh, look at me. What does Paul say about that stuff? Garbage. Stinky garbage. Like, oh, that's what I'm giving up, that there's anything in me. And so there it is, the deny myself, as I'm denying that I have merit in the things that I do. It's not me that does anything good. You know, if there's anything good that comes through me, Jesus Christ does, and it's amazing. Most of the time, I don't even know what it is. That's the idea, right? Like, we think that what he's talking about, maybe I can put it another way. We think that what he's talking about, as he says this, is deny sinful self. So therefore, I take it as, okay, I'm going to deny myself. So I'm going to start kind of really fighting the impulses I have that are sinful. And I'm going to define that through the law. And so I'm going to really work on not sinning. And as I grow, the growth will be that I sin less and less. And therefore, I've denied myself well. It's taking a journey. But what he's really talking about is denying your idea of good self, your righteousness, the things that I do that I'm actually proud of, the things that I do that I say, you know, I did that. I'm pretty good. You know, I'm not trying to say I'm perfect. Never. No, no, no. But, oh, yeah, I've worked really hard to do many good things. I have a sense of self. I don't want to deny it. I don't want to give up earning and righteousness of my own. And this is the center of the gospel. This is why it's here, because you cannot self-atone. You cannot atone for yourself. This is a step beyond realizing that you're unable, and if you accomplish anything, it'll be Christ. This is abandoning self-merit. and then take up your cross. It's only Luke where it says daily. I'm glad he does because it helps me understand. Because otherwise I think, well, if I did it once, I'm done. You know, I prayed the prayer. I did the conversion. That's the thing. No, but every day I pick up my cross again. Why? Because I'm in my flesh. I constantly go back. This is why we come. This is why we read again the Bible. This is why we have worship together. This is why we take communion. Because every time we need another reminder, Christ for me, not me for Christ. It's not two wings of an airplane. We get the whole airplane. We get on. Jesus Christ. This is to be spiritual. This is what we read in the Corinthian passage this morning. This is us thinking through and receiving wisdom that the world doesn't have, which is Jesus Christ is everything. Amazing. Bearing the cross. Not saying you go get crucified. It's the Roman picture, right, that Jesus is using of humiliation and of submission to the government, to people that are going to nail him to the cross, to people are going to say, not, to ridicule him, and saying you pick up the idea that your own works are nothing. And it's so hard for me. He's talking about rejecting the world's view of salvation, accepting God's daily. The depth of humility that God who made all of this, God who did all of this, God has shed his blood for you. God did. That's what we receive. The kingdom of God, the gospel, is Jesus, him alone. This is what we're doing every day. And if not, you're back to denying the atonement. Jesus didn't die so that now you can work on yourself. And he'll, again, stand in the corner and wait and see if you actually get there. He's got a list to see how much you've done for him and if you've really proved by your behavior that you're changed. Instead, he says, I'm for you, kid. I've got you. Will you trust me? Will you trust me in the storm? Will you trust me as things don't go? Will you trust me to actually use you when you say life is so daily and I just don't see anything happening? Yeah, I know. You got pretty bad eyes. But you got an amazing Savior. Okay, let's finish what he says because he continues to flesh this out. He says, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what is the profit of man if he gains the whole world and loses forfeits himself. You got that right? He's explaining. Whoever would save his life by doing what they can to show that they're good for God, you're not going to make it. But if you lose that, if you lose that idea of self-righteousness, if you lose that idea of you're earning God's favor by what you do, you just receive me. It doesn't profit to have reputation and standing and depth and adulation from other people as they judge you righteous if you actually forfeit heaven, forfeit the only thing that matters, Jesus for you, not you for Jesus. And he keeps going. For whoever's ashamed of me and my words, of him, the Son of Man, be ashamed when he comes in glory, in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. This is really strong stuff. This is why discipleship is so important. This is why today, if you're like, oh, I'm just sort of like thinking, I'm not sure that it's all Jesus. Jesus is about empowering me to be the better me. It's about the accomplishment that I will do for Christ. Oh, please come back. Come back to the cross. Hear this. Don't be ashamed that Jesus does everything and that the life that you're living now, when Jesus says, I'm in you, when you have the Holy Spirit, when you've confessed Christ and his whole word is you are kept by the power of God and you're going like, well, but I'm just not used. Stop. Stop. You are used. How do I know? I don't know because I don't know you. I know Jesus. And I proclaim to you today, receive the wonder that he's done it all. And we're talking about glory, and he's coming, the glory of his angels. And you'll see, he's used you. He's had you all the way. I tell you truly, there's some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Okay, Dax, I'm waiting to be done with all this whole message, and why do you throw this curveball at the end? What in the world? Yeah, it's okay. Hold it till next week. We're going to see the kingdom of God appear. Do you know what's coming? The transfiguration. Do you know Jesus becomes like he's going to be? You're going to see him shining glory. It's going to happen. We're going to see it next week. That's what he's, it's about to come. It says there's people standing here. It's not all of you because not all of them went. But the kingdom of God is Christ in his glory. We have that taste because he's in us. This is discipleship today. And I'll just end with this. I know this is a similar concept from Matthew. It says, but take my yoke upon you. Lean, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Okay, there's a very real sense I'm hoping you're getting today from this, and even my heart for our body, and as much as I can before the Lord, to say you realize that in a very real sense, discipleship is salvation. If you have received Jesus Christ, you get it all. He's using you. He has you for your entire life on earth. You cannot be saved and not be in discipleship. There's no such thing. I'm saved, but I'm not a disciple. What? That's what it meant. That's what it means. Because God in Christ has all the power, all the intention for your life. He has you in his hand. You're not outside his love or his use or his control. Discipleship is living life on the raft. He's in control of where you go. You don't think you're doing anything amazing? Yeah, the disciples knew they weren't going to feed 5,000 people. Tell that to Jesus. The fight of our lives is to keep our eyes and our trust and our confidence on what Jesus Christ has done for us, not on what we do for him, not on how we might grow ourselves. We grow in trust, we do. But this stepwise leveling up stuff's got to go. Don't buy in. He already has you. So we pick up the cross. Man, in some senses it hurts. It's about his love for me, not my love for him. But I want to be the hero. I want to be the person who wins. In him, you've won. Amazing truth that we can rest in. His yoke is easy. His burden's light. Because he's done everything for us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what you've done for us. And Lord, for those of us in this room today who don't feel significant, who don't feel they're being used, who struggle over sin, whose lives are just not as complete as they hoped. Lord, I pray our eyes might be open to the depth and wonder that you're using us as you want to. You, the King of Glory. Father, I pray we might rest in your arms to know that you do what you will through us, and it will be amazing to see when we do get eyes to see in glory. We ask that in your name. Amen.